This is the day the Lord has made. Amen. The sermon for this first Sunday after Christmas is according to St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 22 and following. It seems, though, with the mad, as they call it, the mad rush of Christmas, which is just starting. Sorry, I'm gonna split that hair. But it seems like even now, when the kind of the secular part of Christmas is over, people still have these sense of obligations. I mean, Lord help us, what is today? Help me out. New Year's Eve, give me a break. Could there be more pressure? Now, I have this great thing I post on Facebook every year. It says, wow, I can't believe it's been another year since I haven't become a better person. Because when you think about it, think of the pressure. We put these obligations on ourselves. Because it's the last day of December, you have now got to decide how you're going to be a better person. No pressure. As Christians, we're allowed to laugh at that. Because we're wondering, how can we accomplish them? And it's no wonder that, did you know that one of the biggest growing fields, and it began even in the 80s, was life management books. Ever read one? You know you have. You don't have to admit it here in church. It's not a sin. It's just kind of goofy. We've all read them. My first life management book, I will tell you, was Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. We've all read that Mormon Stephen R. Covey's book, even though we're Lutherans. And as I attempted to fill the quadrants and the blanks in order to meet the demands of life, I discovered not only how much had to be done, but also how each task must be subdivided. No matter how many times I subdivided and reordered, there always seemed to be more of the same. Not that the demands were bad in and of themselves, mind you, but identifying my obligations proved to me, anyway, in a very stark fashion, that claims and requirements permeate every part of my life. Though in general, and I'm going to stress this word, I even capitalized it in my sermon to make sure that you understood it, I became a little more organized. The organization did not free me from commands, demands, and obligations. I knew that I was the one responsible for each task. I couldn't escape. It seemed as if a very long arm of the law was reaching out to grab me. So is there any escape from the long arm of the law? The long arm of the law reaches out inescapably, I will tell you. Think of it, the long reach of state law. How can we or anybody keep all of our obligations to vote, to pay taxes, to support the well-being of our country, to honor our authorities? And boy, we talked about that in Bible study today. We have to pray for people that we don't like. We have to pray for leaders even if we didn't vote for them. We have to pray for neighbors, even the ones we don't get along with. Man, Bible study just ruined all this concept of just praying for our friends and good people. I'm sorry. But there is this long arm of like vocation law. We talked a lot about vocation even in Bible study today. How can we or anybody possibly keep track of or perform all the demands of vocation? And we all have different vocations. But how about the ones that we may share? The vocation of loving our spouse the way we should. the vocation of teaching our kids all the right things, to obey and esteem our parents the way we are supposed to. You're like, wow, Pastor, you just hit us with the hard ones. Couldn't you just say, what if we were all nuclear physicists? That'd be easy. Then the longest reach of all. How about this? What about the long arm of God's law? The commandments. How can we or anybody possibly attain to the demand of God's law as he commands? Remember, even again, here's my broken record for you. In Bible study, we talked about vocation. We talked about even our conscience. What our conscience is going, I wouldn't, don't steal that. Hey, God says no. And people that don't have that voice, they're called psycho. They have no recourse for anything. Believe it or not, as long as those arms are, I got a concept for you, as far reaching as those arms seem, there is a longer arm even still. It's the arm of grace, which is reached into your world. The longer arm of grace extends itself in Jesus Christ. Jesus was born under the law, Galatians 4:4. He was circumcised according to the law, Luke 2:21. We heard about it today. Therefore, Jesus put himself within reach of the long arm of the law. He obligated himself to fulfill its each and every demand, Luke 22-24. The long arm of the law demanded Jesus' perfect duty to the Lord. His life belonged to the Lord. Jesus is presented at the temple as one whose service will complete every demand of the law. St. Paul said that in Romans 8. The longer arm of grace handles the law. The longer arm of grace does more than just pile works and failures on your backs. The longer arm of grace consoles. Our Lord's service brings peace and joy. I got to tell you, you're not really supposed to do this, but I have one of my favorite people in the Bible. His name was Simeon. Remember him? Upon seeing Christ, he rejoiced at the miracle God had done. Did Simeon see him raise somebody from the dead? Did he see him turn water into wine? Did he see him exorcise demons? No. He saw God's promise come true. And we sing about it in our divine service. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Luke 2:29-32. The Bible says Simeon was old. He had seen a few things in his life. He was maybe pretty well versed in the ways of the world. He had to wait a very long time to get the consolation of Israel in his hands, holding his Lord and Savior and Master, all of these bundled up in what we call swaddling cloths. This little guy. And he didn't see anything that we saw as we read our Bibles. He just knew God kept his promise. Oh, I love it when you do that, God. And we're not done there. You got another one of my favorites here. Then there was Anna. Remember Anna? She was the second witness who also rejoiced at seeing this longer arm of grace reach out. And there was a prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Luke 2:36-38. Old people are getting some notice in the Bible today. They showed us something, that the coming of Jesus comes not with our prayers, as our catechism says. Surely the Lord will come without our prayers, but we pray in this petition that he comes for us also, right? And so here we are, we're seeing these people. What did they do? They were patient in their faithfulness. They were patient. That's the hardest thing to do in such a fast-paced, mechanized society that we live in. I tell you what, it's even a joke to talk to my kids about dial-up internet. I mean, my first internet was free from the University of Alaska, and it was 1.2K. And it was awesome. So when I got a 56K modem, I felt like I was Flash from the comics. Now I'd feel like I am going to die before this page loads. Now we have high-speed internet. So there's this sense of patience that is just, and I'm guilty of it, of being lacking. But God says, you want patience? I'll give it to you. Wait for it. Can there be any greater comfort at the end of your life than knowing you have seen your salvation in the birth, death, and resurrection of Christ in the Word of God and His sacraments? We even talked about that today in Bible study. Those three words, which somebody just burn into your ears. Because we even talked about, what is Christianity? It is different because it is for everybody. It's not an ethnic religion. Anybody who comes up to me and goes, oh yeah, Lutherans are just a German religion. Breathe deep, because I'm about to fight. It is not. A German religion looks like lighting a fire and going, ah, around it. They were pagans. They had distinct, very kind of practices. Lutherans is not a German religion. It happens to have a truckload of Germans. But they didn't make it. It made them. We have the religion who doesn't care what nation you come from. Doesn't care what the color of your skin is. Doesn't care how smart you are. Doesn't care how rich you are. Doesn't care how the opposite of those are. It cares that whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. You notice it doesn't get really super specific. As long as you're 6'5", or as long as your hair is black or brown or blonde, who cares? So there can't be a grid. The longer arm is what redeems us. It reaches past nations. It reaches past skin color. It reaches past all that dumb stuff that every other religion is all about. Our Lord's service fulfills what is demanded of us as well. He departed from the temple, verse 39 and 40. The longer arm of grace had completed everything, as St. Paul says in Romans 8 again, verses 3 and 4. So the longer arm of grace even extends further for your salvation. St. Paul says as much in the letter to the Galatians. If you haven't read the letter of Galatians, here's your homework. In the same way also, he says, When we were children, we were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God sent his Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Do you know why it's important that I read that you become all of you sons, even you girls? Because we realize that in this, a firstborn son, what was a firstborn son entitled to? Everything. Yes, you guys know. So it's saying, I don't care if you happen to be a girl, Nancy. You are given the exact same thing that everybody else was given, every firstborn son. Everything is yours. She doesn't get the partial grace of a girl. She is given all of the grace promised by Christ. No secondhand junk here. Although I do like Goodwill, but that's another story. These arms, they stretch out. They reach out. They're far. They'll be pulled tight and brutally nailed to the cross. Those days when a sword would also pierce St. Mary's soul. These arms of grace are long, aren't they? They stretch on and on all the way to you today. Here you are gathered together by God. I love that in our catechism. I believe that I cannot believe by my own reason or strength in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit calls me by the gospel, enlightens me with his gifts, sanctifies and keeps me in the true faith, just as he calls, gathers, and enlightens the entire Christian earth, church on earth. You're going to hear that a bunch of times. And God willing, as long as he gives me to be your pastor, I'm going to burn that in. These arms of grace are long. We stand together in awe at the majesty of God who came and died for you, for your salvation. You stand in the good company of the prophet Simeon and Anna. We all stand in the presence of our Lord as we gaze at the awesome wonder of our consolation and our redemption. And again, as we talked about in Bible study, the longer arm of grace reaches out to us in our baptisms. I think it's great that St. John's has a beautiful baptismal font. It makes it really easy to point at. And it's like, look at that beautiful font. But remember, God reached out to us in holy baptism. God reached out to you in absolution, in the forgiveness of sins. God even reaches out to you in the very body and blood of Jesus Christ given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. If I sound like a broken record, I'm doing my job. It's not a broken record. It's supposed to do that. Whatever demands the law has placed on you, the longer arm of God's grace in Christ have been proven longer and stronger. Here's the escape, the only real escape from the long arm of the law. What is placed on your back is not, you were not righteous enough today. You were not holy enough today. You were not sinless enough today. Rather, it is a yoke that's put there by Jesus. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. He doesn't say, carry more law. The real escape from the long arm of the law is the work of Jesus Christ. Whenever And wherever you have been pushed by the law and fear and uncertainty, the longer arm of grace, the longer arm of Christ reaches in. And that, my friends, is a wonderful reason to say, this is the day the Lord has made. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds. In the one true faith, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now confess our faith as found in the words of our baptismal creed, the Apostles' Creed, found on page 192. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.